This episode of the 3D Insights podcast is sponsored by IMAPS, the premier global association for microelectronics advanced packaging enthusiasts. A membership in IMAPS helps your company grow its advanced packaging workforce through professional education and networking, advances your brand, and supports building relationships. IMAPS helps you learn, connect, and collaborate. Learn more at imaps.org. Hi there, I'm Françoise Von Trapp, and this is the 3D Insights Podcast. Hi everyone, I'm here recording live at the International Microelectronics and Packaging Society International Symposium, and I've been here all week, and we have a really special episode to record today. I'm speaking with a group of high school students. They are in the robotics club at Carlsbad High School, and Bill Ishii, who is an IMAPS member, organized their trip to come and learn about the microelectronics industry, tour the exhibits, have some conversations, and I have three of them sitting here with me, and they agreed to sit down and talk about the experience. So I have Dimitrios Dressios and Vasilios Dressios, who happen to be twin brothers. No, they're not twin brothers. They're triplets. That's another story. And Kendra Amon?
Yeah.
Okay. Who is not a triplet. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
So tell me a little bit about yourself. So how about if we go around the room and you can tell me what grade you're in and why you're interested in robotics and what you're thinking about studying maybe in the future.
Okay, so I'm Kendra and I'm in 11th grade at Carlsbad High School. I'm obviously a part of the robotics team. I'm CAD lead for an all-girls team named the RoboPuffs. And I think I'm interested in going into mechanical engineering in college.
Okay, and so you're the CAD lead, like in CAD design.
Yeah, so okay. I do like 3D modeling of our robot. We primarily use SolidWorks on our team. It's kind of like the industry standard.
Okay.
So that's what we use.
Okay, and Vasilios.
Yeah, my name is Vasilios Dressios. I'm on another team at Carlsbad High School for Robotics, along with my triplet brother right here. And if I were to enter college tomorrow, I'd probably double major between applied mathematics and chemistry. I don't know what kind of chemistry, perhaps organic synthesis.
Okay. Who knows?
Yeah, for a long time I was really bent on astronomy, physics. That's changed. I want to influence my career choice. It's changed this summer, really.
So what is your career path then from that? Any idea?
I haven't really decided. I just want to go to college and keep my options open.
I think that's a great idea. And how about you, Dimitrios?
My name is Dimitrios, junior at Carlsbad High School. I'm also on the same team as my brother. It's called 626 Bambusa. It's a very panda-themed team. If I were to go to college tomorrow, same as my brother, we might think of, like, you know, probably double major math and chemistry, maybe mechanical and materials engineering, double major.
Materials.
But I'm not so sure. And also, like, this all changes all the time.
Of course.
And even career options after college. Like, from what I've seen here at the symposium, there's a lot of people who went chemical engineering and then they've switched and done, integrated circuits. It's like, it's very open. I'm just really happy for that.
Well, they don't really tell you a whole lot about what the microelectronics industry is like when you're in high school, right?
No, not usually.
So you get all of the classes that you need to study and all of the majors you need to go in, but not necessarily what that's going to lead to. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's something that's done, I would assume, more in college.
I
would hope.
You would hope. Okay. Yeah. So you've been here for a few hours today. Right. What have you seen?
So probably the highlight so far has been, not only do we get to see some talks from some other people already part of IMAPS, we went to our own little room and Bill Ishii and some of his colleagues just presented to us about what it's like to be in these kind of societies. But then after that, my brother and I got to go talk to some UC Riverside and UC Santa Barbara Formula E teams. We got to see how they actually, it's very similar to our robotics in high school. It's great to see that continuation to college about how they just have these robotics programs, except people inside the robots, Formula E teams, how they're using everything they're learning, not just from the hardware side, but also the electrical engineering side, the integrated circuit side. And just, that's been a pretty big highlight.
Okay. How about you? For you?
Yeah. He stole the words right out of my mouth. I guess great minds think alike.
It's too bad that you're, you know, triplets. Do you have a triplet sister or
sister?
Sister. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, my highlight was definitely the UC Riverside. We clicked together just now back there. We're going to go back right after this and talk to them some more, I hope. It's great to see a continuation from robotics. It was very familiar how they're using CAD, first of all, to put together a race car, in their case, a robot that does a specific function in our case. And a big emphasis for the UC Riverside kids was for career after college. So a lot of them were talking about how car companies love the Formula E teams and take a lot of kids from those teams because they're very specialized in both that kind of engineering and in cars specifically. So that's something I'd like to see more as I go into the future as well.
Okay. So Kendra, how about you? What have you seen that's excited you today?
I think what's great about this event is like the connections you can make and like the people you meet. So I got to meet with two girls at SDSU who I think are in their master's program right now. And they were looking at radio frequency. And I got a chance to talk to them about maybe coming into our Women in STEM Club at Carlsbad High School and just talking about their experiences, how they decided to go into electrical engineering and like that stuff and how they can talk about that.
Well, that's great. Did you have a chance to look at the exhibits?
Yes, we got like 30 minutes before this to come talk to the exhibits, but after this, we're going to go look at more.
Yeah. Okay, so did you see anything that you hadn't seen before or that, you know, made you think, oh, this is kind of cool?
One thing that I saw that I completely just clicked for me that I didn't realize before is how they're actually connecting all these little microcircuits together. Like, for instance, the example of CCD sensors, which I happen to just know a lot about from my background hobbies, but I didn't always realize how they took the tiny little wires on the sides and actually integrated them into the boards and then mass produced that so fast. Then I learned today that they do this with like these big machines that like literally rub something against the metal so fast that it just melts into the metal. And they do that 25 times a second. So that just really clicked for me. Oh, that's how we're able to have cameras. That's how we're able to have all these amazing electronic devices. That's been pretty cool.
Something that surprised me was, especially at the beginning when there was a lot of presentation going on with Ishii and some of his colleagues, of worker from Maryland actually came over and taught us about how she had a background in chemical engineering. My brain lit up because I would love to pursue that in college, at least. And how she suddenly transitioned to this actually very applicable field. Mm-hmm. So where chemical engineering comes in, especially from what I've seen, is the substrates, the semiconductors. You can have both like silicon semiconductors, you can have organic semiconductors. And what I like a lot is organic synthesis.
Ah.
So that's where it clicked and clicked and clicked again and again. And that was really surprised me, how it's so applicable to what I want to study, like chemistry, to something like microelectronics. I haven't even taken the physics electronics course yet, and it's already so similar, my interests, with this field.
So just in one day, you've learned how you can make connections with people, how you can make connections between what you want to do with your life and what you want to study. Mm-hmm. Or what you want to study and what you may want to do with your life, it kind of opens up all the options for you.
Exactly.
So have you thought about where you want to go to college?
I think it really depends on like what you're interested in, like what schools have to mm-hmm. offer. Obviously, engineering is something that I'm interested in, and a lot of schools have that to offer. Mm-hmm. So obviously, since we live in California, UCs are right. the go-to. So pretty much those and then a few privates. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say, especially the college application process, you never know where you're going to actually end up. But the strategy I'm going to be pursuing personally is just throw the post at the wall and see what sticks. See, like, exactly. I'm going to apply from the very top dream schools, you know, Stanford, MIT, Harvard, Yale, whatever. And then all the way, obviously, UCs. And then also local schools, too, SDSU, all the. And also some schools that we've seen here today, like UC Riverside, UC Santa Barbara. Like, I know that no matter where I end up, where it is on my priority list, I'm going to have fun because I'm going to meet people like that. I'm going to get involved in things like that. So it's going to be great.
Yeah, I definitely agree that your college experience is less where you go, even though that can facilitate having a really good experience overall, but more what you make out of it. Mm-hmm. I could go to UCSD tomorrow and be happy for the next 4 years because I would find out about the best researchers, find mm-hmm. the best research opportunities, get into the chemistry labs, which, say, if I went to Princeton and I didn't take the care to meet any really big professors or researchers, I just let it flow past me by those critical 4 years of undergrad college, then it wouldn't have been as good an experience.
Okay.
So I just want to go to college to make the most out of it.
Okay, so now let's talk about what you're doing right now. You're all in the robotics club, right? Mm-hmm.
The way we have it right now, there's an all-girls team, so the RoboPuffs. I don't know if in the past we had an all-boys team. We definitely don't anymore because that's not a very viable business model.
Right. But
yeah, because obviously you're losing a lot of talent there. But right now, the team that we're on, Bambusa, really pre-COVID, it was like supposed to be the JV team. After COVID, we only had three kids on it, before my brother, myself, and like two other kids joined. So now it's just a general co-ed team along with the third team at our school, the Buffalo Wings, which are also here today's conference. So between us, the three teams have around like 40 members, and we're just continuing to do things like this outreach and all that.
So how long have you been doing Robotics Club?
I joined my freshman year. After like 3 weeks into school, I was trying to get myself busy with things because I had too much free time. Now, free time has gone out the window, but not robotics. Robotics is going to definitely stick with me.
Yeah. And did you join the same time?
Yeah, he roped me into it. Yeah, I was reluctant at first. But
now you're thanking him, right?
Yeah, and I got in through hardware, really. I was allowed to assemble from another team, the senior that I knew from Speech and Debate Club. Mm-hmm. These connections are crazy in high school. She had me assemble part of her drivetrain, the robot for the Buffalo Wings team.
Yeah.
And that's what got me roped into robotics. That's why I stayed. And then I started looking at things like software and CAD, especially, that kept me in. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so high school robotics is a part of FIRST. So I started first Lego League in third grade.
Oh,
so
wow.
This will be my ninth year part of like robotics. At the high school level, we're first tech challenge.
Okay.
And then like some advanced high schools or colleges have first robotics.
No, first is Dean Kamen's
yeah.
Oh. Program, right?
Yeah, I got the mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's exciting. So I guess that this has helped shape your career path by mm-hmm. being part of the robotics club.
Yeah, for sure.
Kendra, what's the in all those 9 years, what's the coolest robot you've ever built?
I think the one we're working on this year is definitely our best. Freshman year, none of us knew what we were doing. Sophomore year, it was still a struggle, but this year I feel really confident. Our CADed robot is looking really good, and we're going to start ordering the parts. So this year, it's definitely going to be our best
robot. So tell me about the design. What's it going to do?
Okay, so each year they come up with a new field and design. So this year it's kind of like an art theme. So you have to pick up different hexagonal pixels and place them on a board. And then there's like another thing where you have to launch a paper airplane. That one we're super excited about. We have a system that's going to like have two wheels spinning together and it's going to launch an airplane over. And then, the hanging. There's this challenge where you have to hang your whole robot on a bar. That one's going to be definitely a challenge because you have like a really heavy robot that you need to hang. So that one, we have a pulley system built and we're going to work on that.
Now, why do we need to hang it?
You get like points for doing different challenges. Okay. So it's just a challenge that they give you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. How about you guys?
This summer, we were able to cook up a very funny design. Some context. Last year, I was actually fortunate enough to make it to Worlds in Robotics in Houston, where I got to meet teams, like top teams from all over the nation. And one thing that really stood out was this one team that had this thing called a swerve drivetrain, where every single wheel on their car of the robot could move independently, which means they can zip all over the field, all different orientations really fast. Now, from what I know, only like one team, that team, has ever successfully implemented that. So this summer, we tried to do the same thing. And we actually got pretty successful. And the drivetrain is finished, and we're going to be using it this year. So I'm really happy we're able to do that.
Yeah, it's called the Swerve drivetrain. I spent like 60 hours CADing that out May until August of the spring to summer last year. That was basically my life then, besides studying for SAT and things and internships. So the whole point is, yeah, you can control each wheel separately,
yeah.
And you get 100% of the torque you want in any specified direction that your wheels are all facing. So it's a very complicated machine, more complicated than it looks like it has to be, but it's really satisfying that now we can hold it in our hands. Something that went from chemical reactions in the brain to drawing out on paper the ideas to an LCD display to something you can hold.
Right, exactly. So what's the purpose of the robot? Like, what's it going to do besides, does it pick up anything? Does it clean the house? Does it vacuum? I mean, I would like that one.
The specific part of this one is that it makes it move. It's all about the movement.
Okay.
We can build on top of it as we're doing this year to do all that specific challenges. But like, think of it like a Roomba. This is the part that makes it move from like the corner of the house to where the spill happened. And then later on, we can build anything we want on it. We can build a vacuum on it, in the Roomba analogy. We can build a broom on it. We can do all sorts of things once we get to that spot. But this is all about the critical part about going from point A to point B.
Well, have you guys ever been up to Mountain View?
No.
They have delivery autonomous vehicles.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're little robots, but it picks up meals and delivers them. You know, you order them on your phone and you'll be walking down the street and this little robot will go by. So there's an application for it.
Virtue of our specific swerve drivetrain is probably too fast accelerating. You'd spill your drink.
Well, there's a challenge. Make it so that it doesn't spill your drink.
And that's called
jerk limited motion.
Yes. And it's controlled by the PID.
Yeah. Okay. So this is just a
they're going to make a movie about you too.
This is an inside joke. We were at the science fair last year in San Diego. this other team from our region, the Roboctopi, actually brought their own drivetrain, and they called it the Jerk Limited movement platform. It was just a funny thing we saw. They're really cool kids over there, too.
Yeah. And it's the PID, how you control it, just goes to tie in how much math is involved in this.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Well, do you have any questions for me?
Well, I have a question, actually.
Yeah.
So how long have you been doing this podcast thing for, I guess, do you do this for all conferences or just IMAPS?
No, I do it for IMAPS and SEMI. Mm. And I've been podcasting for about 3 years. But before that, 3D Insights is actually a content platform, but we are a member-centric, so companies join so that they can publish their articles and their white papers and videos and do podcasting. So, yeah, cool. That's what we do.
Are you familiar with IEEE IMS?
Familiar with IEEE Electronic Component Technology Conference, which is ECTC. Yeah. So I've always followed anything to do with the advanced packaging space.
Right. Yeah, I saw actually a lot of that happening at IMS, the International Microwave Symposium, which was San Diego 2023, the beginning of the summer.
And so how many of these events have you guys been to?
For me, I went to that one. I volunteered for a company that was coming in from Greece, one that we know.
Okay.
But this is my first one, actually. It's been everything I actually expected it to be from what I heard from Vasilios. He described it as this great, amazing thing. I was like, yeah, sure. How good can it be? Yeah, it's that
it's
good.
It's pretty great.
It's pretty great, yeah.
This is my first experience, too, and it's been amazing.
I think there are student chapters of IMAPS once you get to college. Mm. And I know a lot of the people here actually got started when they were in college. So you should definitely look into it when you get there.
For sure.
Well, thanks so much for joining me today, you guys.
Thank you.
It has been a pleasure.
Same here.
So one of the things we were going to talk about today with this focus on workforce development is how to bring new graduating students into the industry. And my next guests are joining me from our member company, Nordson Electronic Solutions. And I'm speaking with Roberta Foster-Smith.
Hello.
And Gabriella Phillips.
Hi.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Roberta, what is your role at Nordson?
I work in the marketing communications department, specializing in campaign planning and branding.
Okay.
And
that role's changed.
Yeah, I used to be in charge of marketing communications, and now I work alongside them to do plan more deeply and more long-term kind of projects.
And Gabriella is an intern.
Yeah, so I'm doing the commercial leadership development program. So basically what they do is they send us to different plants over the course of 2 years, and then we kind of get to pick where we want to be. So it's product management, marketing, sales, different positions like that.
Okay. And you are at school where?
I just graduated.
Okay.
So I graduated from California State University, San Marcos.
Okay.
Over the last year and a half, I was an intern at Nordson, and then I moved over into the development program.
And is the development program run by Nordson?
Yes.
Okay.
Corporate-level program.
Okay.
And in fact, we had recent graduates that were working for us in Carlsbad, California, just up the road, and they've actually moved to Ohio and Chicago, where they're working at Nordson companies.
Okay, so workforce development is a big issue right now in the industry, so it's great to talk to you about this. So, Gabriella, what's your experience been like?
So, when I first started, obviously, I was still in school, and I was more on the operations side.
Mm-hmm.
So, when I started, I was underneath engineering, and I worked on a lot of big projects when it came to, like, you know, inventory control and process improvement. So, moving over to the commercial side, it's definitely a little bit different, but it definitely helps having a operations background.
So, what was your degree in?
Supply chain management.
Okay. So what drew you to the microelectronics industry?
Curiosity. I would say I didn't know anything about it. And obviously, Nordson as a company, everybody assumes Nordstrom.
Right. Okay.
So
you were, and that was probably a shock to the system.
Yeah. Definitely telling my parents. They were like, oh, Nordstrom. I'm like, no, Nordson.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think just curiosity mainly. And obviously in supply chain, a lot of people don't really know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of falling into it, I didn't really know what I was going to be doing when I was going into supply chain, but I'm glad that I'm where I am now because I fell in pretty good, I would say.
So how does the program work?
I believe Nordson puts out solicitations for people to apply. Mm-hmm. It actually is only in its second year. It started in Ohio and was focused only on finance students. And then they have recently finished their rotations. They sent them to two or three different places.
Four, I
think. Four, okay. They've now learned that I think before it was only a six-month term, and now they're a nine-month term.
Okay.
So people will have longer to get to learn what
And this is
on.
Not an internship at this point.
No.
No, it's a paid employee, but they're referring to it as an internship.
Okay. So how long does the program last?
2 years, 18 months.
Okay, and so once you're finished, then what?
So they want to develop our talent. Mm-hmm. And so doing this program, they want to figure out where we're strong at and where we like to be. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the program, they want to make sure that we go to a place that we're going to perform. Mm-hmm. We kind of get to pick after.
Within Nordson.
Within Nordson. You have kind of a list of places you kind of can go and mm-hmm. positions that are available. Some people from last year had positions made for them depending on their skills and depending on their backgrounds. So it's kind of open to mm-hmm. where we want to go, but within the U.S.
Oh, that sounds really fascinating. Mm-hmm. So what have you liked best about That's it so far?
Definitely learning. I wanted to do product management, which mm-hmm. is kind of what I'm doing now. So working in the operations side and then moving over to the product management side, it's very interesting. And I think that I'm falling into that currently. Mm-hmm. I think my next rotation is going to be sales. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think the way that my career has mapped out has definitely benefited me so that after the program, I'll be able to be very versatile of where I want to go.
Okay. And you think you'll stick with the industry?
Oh, yeah, probably.
That's
most likely.
Great. Well, we're very happy to have you. How's it been? Now, how do you get to be involved?
She's working next to me, and we're actually working on planning some promotions related to some specific products we've got coming out in the next year.
So. Okay, so it's yeah. in the marketing side of things,
yes,
too.
Yes, marketing. Yeah, yeah, so it's related. She's working directly for one of our product managers, and I work with him to decide how we're going to promote things or where we're going to promote and how we're going to target to specific customers. So
this is great. Well, it's nice to hear about someone who's come into the industry not from an engineering background, because there are other important roles. So, well, thanks for joining me today then, and we look forward to hearing more about your adventure.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Francois.
Next week on the 3D Insights podcast, I'm handing over the mic to Dan Kruger of Honeywell as he moderated a panel on diversity in packaging, past, present, and future at the IMEPS International Symposium. Don't miss this lively town hall discussion on many important topics in today's challenging work environment, including the important differences between equity and equality in the workplace. There's lots more to come, so tune in next time to the 3D Insights podcast. The 3D Insights podcast is a production of 3D Insights, LLC.